So it's that time of the week again where we look at football the other side of the Atlantic. MLS Monday is back. We're getting ready for week one of the 2017 Major League Soccer season. As always, for MLS Monday, joined by Drew Farmer. Drew, welcome.
Hi, Andy. It's good to be back. And MLS season is just around the corner, less than 5 days away. So a lot of things going on as we prepare for the season.
Yeah, full week one set of fixtures, which we'll come to in the podcast for this time. First, Drew, there's a lot of things that have been happening kind of pre-season wise and stuff still to talk about. First thing I want to throw out there is that LA Galaxy. I don't know if you, I know you've seen this because I sent you a link to it on Twitter, but I don't know if you've fully looked into it, but LA Galaxy are talking about scouting the UK. I think they're going to be in London and Manchester later this year.
Yeah, I have had a good look at this, and they are going to be over here in the UK looking at some talent. And it's actually going to be LA Galaxy's reserve team, LA Galaxy 2, who play in the lower divisions of U.S. soccer, but they're going to be coming over, scouting some talent, which I think is a really good idea to look at some of this overlooked, these overlooked players who don't quite make it with academies here in the UK. And they're hoping to take about 10 players back and give them some trials in LA with the second team.
Now, of course, for some English players, actually MLS is a good route to professional football or soccer. I know that there are some in the US system who you kind of just think of as Americans, but actually you look at them and they're English. They maybe got a scholarship to go and play soccer at a US college, and then they've gone through the system. So there are names who've played, even if there's not maybe as many at the moment, but there've been names who've gone to America, have maybe established themselves in that route.
Yeah, that's right. There have been some players that have done that, and the one that really comes to mind is Sporting Kansas City striker Dom Dwyer, who he had been in the youth system at Norwich City. It didn't really work out for him. He bounced around with a couple of non-league teams before he got the chance to play at a community college in the U.S., which community college is just a two-year school before you go on to one of the big universities. And he excelled at South Florida University before being drafted by Sporting Kansas City. And you know, I think a lot of people do see some of these players like Dwyer as, you know, almost American because they've spent so much time over there. And, you know, Dwyer has used this chance to go over to the U.S. to really become a successful player in Major League Soccer. He's won two U.S. Open Cups. He's won an MLS Cup. And, you know, one of the best strikers in MLS that nobody talks about.
It's funny you say that, and the other thing is, I'm aware he is English, but it's so easy to forget. And is that maybe a barrier for him? Because, you know, teams over here could sign him with no work permit issues or anything, but he's so associated with America and the US, you just think of him as American.
No, I agree. I think that is one of the reasons why maybe some teams don't really look at him. He is married to U.S. women's soccer player Sydney LaRue, so he does have a lot of ties to the U.S. now. And with that, I think that it would be maybe a little bit difficult to bring him back over to the U.K., but, you know, there might be a day when a team does go calling for him.
Just as we're on the subject of transfers, we're looking now at the two new sides who are coming into Major League Soccer this year, but then Los Angeles has a new franchise coming in next season, and there's already talk of a good big name that they're looking at as a transfer.
Yeah. How ridiculous is this that the season hasn't even kicked off, but we're already talking about 2018. But LAFC is looking at Javier Hernandez to come in, former Manchester United striker currently with Bayer Leverkusen, and this would be such a massive coup for Major League Soccer. Hernandez is right now the best Mexican player in the world, and he would be that, not only the face of the franchise on the field, but he would be that bridge that MLS is finally able to get between the league, the sport in the U.S., and that Mexican-American population that they have so long coveted. And Los Angeles has always been a key area for MLS. If you remember a few years ago, there was Chivas USA, who they tried and hoped would really bring in that Mexican-American fan base to really go all out for MLS. Well, with Javier Hernandez, they could achieve that goal in getting those fans to really care about the league and even raising the growing profile of MLS right now. But, you know, the negotiations are going on right now. According to reports, Bayer Leverkusen is not really happy with this at the moment. They're hoping to maybe cash in on Hernandez before he would leave in 2018 for LAFC. But MLS is really going all in here. They're going to pay him a reportedly $9 million a year to come to MLS and play for LAFC, and that would make him the highest-paid player in MLS. Currently, Kaká, making $7 million a year, is the highest-paid player, and he's already said he'll be leaving Orlando City at the end of the season. But huge news right now for MLS if this can come off.
How do you feel, though, with this news if you are an Atlanta fan? You're new to the league this season, and I'm not wishing to decry Ken Win-Jones in any way, but you look at LAFC and the talk of Javier Hernandez, and then you look at the striker you got in, the big striker early on, and former Stoke, Sunderland, I think Southampton, or Ken Win-Jones, they're not quite the same level, are they?
No, they're not quite the same level. Much different there, but, you know, these teams are a bit in a different boat. You know, LAFC, I think, really trying to go for a huge splash in that LA market. They've got to compete with LA Galaxy. And I think, you know, the way that LA Galaxy have had in this offseason, yes, they have brought in one big designated player in Roman Alessandrini from Marseille, but they've got a new coach who has never succeeded in MLS. And, you know, this is the right time for LAFC to grab some headlines in that city, especially if the Galaxy have a poor 2017 season.
It also brings us on nicely to something which has been kind of bubbling under, I guess, on MLS Monday through the tail end of last season, and then with what I've been feeling and thinking on a personal level, which is Major League Soccer used to be the place where the big name footballers would go. Now it seems to be that China has taken over. I mean, all these rumours recently of Wayne Rooney, it was always a Chinese team rather than a US team that he was going to. So with Hernandez, that it's a good sign for Major League Soccer, but of course it all happened at a time, and you reminded me of this, is that David Beckham, he actually moved to LA. It's actually 10 years ago this season, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So 2007 was the year that he arrived in Major League Soccer and really changed soccer in the U.S. Completely. And we're seeing that now today. We wouldn't be talking right now, Andy, if it wouldn't have been for David Beckham in 2017. So he really did go over. He really changed the league, the perception of what soccer is in America, and changed the whole outlook for players who, you know, I hate to say it, but who are wanting to end their careers, you know, stateside, you know, with a little bit less pressure on them.
Might be a bit unfair when I directly compare the Chinese Super League and Major League Soccer. I mean, they are going for different players. The Chinese Super League goes for younger players, but it seems to have just taken the eye away from Major League Soccer, which I think is a shame, because one of the things I always liked about MLS was the fact that it did attract those players at the end of their careers, but, you know, the world class, the high caliber player.
No, I think you are being fair that they are attracting some of these players away from Major League Soccer. But we did talk about in the past that they are going for maybe a different kind of player, like you said, a little bit younger. A lot of these South American, African players going over to China now to finish out their careers. But MLS is still going out for some of these European players at the moment. Again, players more towards the end of their careers. And you know, it is a bit of a different player that they're going for and a different style. MLS is also trying to really bring in some of their the players that they're developing themselves through their academies and their homegrown systems. So, you know, if there are those bigger name players out there from Europe, they're going to try to get them. But right now it looks like China is attracting more and more players of a certain caliber than MLS is. And it looks like it might stay that way for a bit.
Okay, all right, let's move ourselves to week one of the 2017 season. We have two new teams this time around, as I think late Friday night US time, very early Saturday morning UK time, Minnesota, they start their Major League Soccer career with a game against Portland. Of course, winners of the competition a couple of years ago. And then the other new side, Atlanta, waiting till late Sunday evening or early Monday morning UK time as they take on New York Red Bulls. How do you see both those two teams faring in those games, Drew?
Well, both are going to have a very difficult opening weekend. Minnesota on the road playing at a very hostile environment in Portland. A great environment if you've ever seen a Portland Timbers game on TV or been there live. And Portland, this is a team who missed out on the playoffs last season, did not win on the road last season at all. Only team in MLS not to do that. They're a team that have a lot to prove this season, especially after winning the MLS Cup in 2015. So I think this will be a very difficult game for them, but I think that they're going to try to make a big splash on that first game. Atlanta, a home game against New York Red Bulls. Red Bulls, who were one of the best teams in MLS throughout last season. You know, that's going to be an interesting game. Red Bulls started very poorly last year at Lanigan. They're going to have a home crowd behind them. But, you know, as I showed you, I sent you on Twitter a video of the Atlanta United supporters over the weekend. You know, that home fan base might need to work on a bit of their singing to get behind their team.
yeah, that video. It's very much they're trying to channel their inner Portland Timbers style of fan. They've just missed quite a long way.
Pretty badly.
Yeah. Other games that are worth looking at this weekend. Orlando, they have themselves a new facility. They take on New York City FC this weekend, Drew.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge game in Orlando. A nationally televised game in the U.S. Orlando City will be opening their new stadium. They had a soft opening over the weekend in a preseason friendly when they beat St. Louis FC 3-1, Kaká getting the first goal in that stadium. And this stadium is really, really nice. I've seen some pictures and some videos of it. And one of the coolest things is Orlando City has used the Borussia Dortmund Signa Iduna Park as a bit of an influence, and they've tried to recreate the terrace at Signa Iduna. The great yellow wall there, but Orlando City is a little bit smaller. Only 2,000 people will be able to get into the standing room only area. But you know, the ideas are there. They want to make a huge splash with this stadium, and it looks really cool on TV.
I find that with American soccer, and I think all respect to Orlando for trying to create the yellow wall. It seems in Major League Soccer stadia, from what I see, they are either well up for it, it's noisy, I think Portland, I think Seattle, or it's not. Fans either seem to completely get this singing thing or not at all.
No, I think you're completely right, and we see that in some of the different cities. Dallas is one who typically has a pretty poor attendance average throughout the season. You know, some of these cities you do have fans that just want to come be entertained, watch a soccer game, have a chat with their friends, and that's it. Others, they really get it, as you said, Portland and Seattle. And some of those cities, Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, they have a history of soccer in the city that goes back to the old NASL from the 1970s and the 1980s. So, you know, they have had a culture of soccer in the cities that is a little bit longer, you know, something that's has a bit more roots in it than some of these other cities. Now, Orlando's fans, they've really taken to this team over the last couple of seasons. And, you know, I was reading something today about how U.S. soccer and teams, they try to take things from different teams from Europe. And that's a fair assessment to say, but I think a lot of these teams are taking aspects from these other teams to try to build their own soccer culture. Almost like, you know, they say the U.S. is the great melting pot of cultures, all coming together to make one. Well, in a way, that's kind of what they're doing with soccer. They're taking things that work in other places, and they're trying to build on it and to make it their own now.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the new teams do settle in creating their own atmospheres as well. As we've said, Atlanta United, decent start, might need a bit of work. Anyway, for this week, Drew, it's been brilliant to get you on. Of course, just a reminder, if you listen to this and you want to tweet us, use the hashtag MLS Monday if you would. And myself and Drew will be tweeting about stuff through the week as well. For this week, though, Drew, great to get you on, and we'll chat again next time.
Yeah, always great to talk to Andy, and I can't wait to talk about Atlanta United's fans next week and what great chance they come up with.